Thanks for joining us today here on Alamo City Church Sunday Sermons with Pastor David Walker. On today's sermon, Pastor Walker will be teaching from his series entitled Deep Rest. As a Christian, your life should not feel complicated. Jesus calls, "Come to me, for all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's listen as Pastor Walker shares how you can handle the demands of the world with joy and face life's challenges with peace in your heart. Now here's Pastor Walker with today's sermon.
He might have thought differently about that later on, but that's how he answered. I'm here because I've been on fire for God. And he continues, the Lord God of hosts, "For the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Now, reading between the lines, among other things, here's something you hear. And he knew he was talking to the Lord. "I've been on fire for you, God. I've been zealous for you, God. And I've been zealous for you because your people have turned away. Your people have torn down the altars and broken the covenant. And I'm here because I'm all you've got left. And you, I couldn't trust to take care of me. I'm all you have left, and I couldn't trust you to take care of me, so that's why I'm here, 500 miles from Jezebel." Now, you know, to Elijah's credit, he had the gall to say such a thing. He was speaking out of the raw meat of his heart that had been ripped and shredded by words and situations, and we talked about a lot of that last week. He's just telling the Lord the truth from his own perspective. Oh, listen to this, folks. John says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, it's God's Spirit, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The point is, walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light with God as he is in the light. There's nothing hidden from him. Elijah just says it. He just gets it out there. And the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. So if it is sin that gets out there, there's forgiveness for the sin. But get it out. Get it out. I felt like, God, that I was doing what I was doing because I was on fire, big time zealous for you. And there wasn't anybody else that would stand with me. And I left because I couldn't count on you to protect me. Qualifying phrase, I couldn't count on you. Well, why couldn't you count on the Lord? Elijah, he just sent fire out of heaven and consumed the sacrifice and burned up all the water and vindicated your reputation and his name before everybody. Why couldn't you? Because he was worn out. Weariness in the warrior skews the accurate interpretation of reality. When you're tired, some things don't seem to be as they really should be. Now, without the Lord doing all that talking that I just did, you go from verse 10 into verse 11, the Lord hears the response, I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Verse 11, so he said, capital H, the Lord said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord, on that mountain where Moses stood, Mount Sinai. And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle. Some would consider that to be the prayer shawl that the Jews will cover themselves in when they would, when they would sense that the presence of the Lord is at hand. He wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Then he repeated what he had said before. I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now notice verse 15. The Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram, and Jehu the son of Nimshi you shall anoint king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall come about the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall put to death the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall put to death, yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. The Lord in that sense corrects Elijah. Doesn't fill in all the tales, but he basically says, Elijah, you're not the only one left. 7,000 whose names you don't even know, whose faces you wouldn't recognize, but I have seen in secret their loyalty to me. Though they may not have been as public as you, they have been loyal to me. Without the Lord just blistering him, he corrects his inaccuracy, which wilderness or weariness brought his way. I want to leave you with something that I believe every weary warrior needs to get a grip on this morning. When you're a warrior, whether you got there, you started out that way, or whether you just ended up that way, but you, if you're a warrior, you have a sense that if something is going to change, it's going to take a big deal. If something is going to change to stop that opposition or to correct the situation, something's going to have to blow up, burn up, or blow away, probably. Now look at this again, if we're able to do that. Earthquake. Something massive, seismic, has got to shift. The plates of the earth begin to move, and things happen. Things that wouldn't change without something cataclysmic now can change. That house bulldozed away. Maybe on that location, one next to it, another house will come up. But destruction, 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 destruction. Fire, fire. About destruction as well. Earthquake, strong winds, destruction, destroy, tear down. But notice what it says. The Lord was not in the tornadic wind. The Lord was not in the middle of the earthquake and the fire. But the Lord was in the gentle blowing. Warriors. Warriors this morning. Elijah the warrior needed to know that there was another side to God. That God, as he had known him, as he would require him to help him, call down fire. God has the ability to blow up, burn up, cause the crust of the earth to break wide open. But when that was displayed one after another, even Elijah, who knew it would take those acts of God in certain ways and certain times, he knew that God wasn't in those things. So where was God? Gentle breeze. Jesus said in the next verse after Matthew 11:28, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You remember this verse? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am, what? Meek and lowly of heart. And you will find rest for your soul. Warriors sometimes need to be jolted to realize God, as he sits on the throne, does not have a volcano in his heart. God in heaven is not riding out an earthquake. God in heaven is not the source of tornadic destruction. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I don't speak anything except I hear the Father speak it. And so he says, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest doesn't look like a volcano. Rest doesn't look like an earthquake. Rest looks like the breeze, doesn't it? I told Jerry when he found that thing and I got to watching that, I said, man, I never went to sleep watching that deal right there. But you look at a volcano, you look at a tornado, you look at a hurricane coming in, and you're thinking, run. Here's another thing, warrior. Not only is the heart of your God meek, gentle, at peace, and at rest, the Lord's not always destroying. He's not always tearing stuff down. He's building stuff and people and things up. If you will notice, what did the Lord give Elijah to do when he said, you can go now? He gave him the names of three men, all three of those to anoint and to, in a sense, bless. He wasn't to destroy, he was to impart life. A warrior sometimes can be so consumed with taking a stand and seeing stuff torn down and seeing stuff blown up and seeing stuff blown away that when the Lord shifts and says, I'll handle that, you have spoken my word and time is on the side of truth, I'll handle that in my time, but here now your assignment is to bless and to impart life. If we're not careful, the warrior can be disappointed that God isn't still blowing stuff up. And then when God chooses not to blow stuff up and we're still waiting on that, we're waiting here in disappointment and he's doing something over here with his gentle quiet. The old guys who comment on this verse, guys are in heaven, great lovers of Jesus are in heaven. They will say most of the powerful things in nature are silent. Light is silent. Life is silent. As a result of its presence, other things can happen, but in its core, those things are silent. So that if all we think that God can be is loud and bombastic and cataclysmic and rending the heavens, then we may just find ourselves out of step with what he may be wanting to do in this season. Warriors need to know what season you're in. Sometimes it's standing and believing for the impossible and the breakdown, but other times it will be that in faith to hear the same Lord. But you got him outside of the blow-up box, and he's now into the imparting life box, and with the same kind of zeal, you do what he tells you to do to impart life. Now, here's another deal. You read that story about Naboth's vineyard and Jezebel formulating a plan to get Naboth killed so that Ahab could have the vineyard. He's only the king, and he's got the whole kingdom, but now he wants this one little place. He's like, so she figures out a way to get Naboth killed. Elijah, returning from the wilderness and his restoration, he never goes face to face with Jezebel, it's recorded again, but he does meet Ahab again. The Lord tells Elijah to meet Ahab and intersect him on his way to lay claim to Naboth's vineyard, who would not sell it to the king because it was a birthright from Naboth's family to him, and he wanted to keep it because it was a family treasure. So the only way it could be removed from that line would be for him to be killed, which happened. The Lord told Elijah everything that Ahab and Jezebel had done, and so he goes and he confronts Ahab. And he speaks this lengthy, bloody kind of prophecy as to how Ahab would die and how Jezebel would die. And then you know what? You need to read this. Ahab got so bothered by what Elijah had said, plus Ahab had seen what happened when the fire came down on Mount Carmel, that the scripture says that Ahab, in effect, comes under conviction of the wrong that he had done. The man is still murdered. The kingdom is still in disarray. Pagan gods are still populating the country. But the king, for that moment, comes under some kind of conviction. And the Lord says to Elijah, see how Ahab has responded to my word. As a result of that, what you have spoken will not come upon him in his day, but will come upon his sons in their day. In other words, warrior, God has a way of seeing into the hearts of ones who may be our most vile opponents, but able to look and see when there is a response. It may be minimal, it might be just a tiny little thing, but in the eyes of God, it shows that he's responded. And a measure of mercy was dispensed. Here's what I wonder. If Elijah hadn't caught the transition of the God of the earthquake, tornado, volcano, to the God of the gentle blowing breeze, would he have been upset with the Lord for being so kind to Ahab with all that Ahab had done and would continue to do in many ways? The sound of a gentle blowing. You see, if you're waiting for the volcano and it ain't time for the volcano, you're going to be staring at that mountain and that rock until the cows come home and beyond. Nothing happened. But what if it's a part of the equation the Lord is wanting you to see, helping us to see? My breath is blowing upon the souls of men and women. My spirit is at work. You do what I give you to do. You leave the rest of it to me. Don't be trying to enforce what you think I'm going to do. Don't be trying to define me in the terms and standards and manifestations that you like. You do what I tell you to do and what I instruct you to do, whether it's to call down fire or whether it's to bless the gentle blowing breeze into a life. Warriors. Rested warriors. If we are carrying a burden for the judgment of God upon a nation, upon a family line, upon a whatever, and the judgment, we're believing for the judgment. Well, what if that's something that God isn't calling you to do? I'm just going to wait till I see it. Well, good luck with that. And truth is truth. Time is on the side of truth. Would you say that back to me? Time is on the side of truth. If what you spoke, if what you represented was true, then in God's timing, it will happen. It will be. But He doesn't give us the assignment to police the enforcement of His truth. He gives us the opportunity to speak for Him. And sometimes the speaking is to call down stuff. Other times the speaking is to bless things and to bless people. Warrior, warrior, gentle warrior, strong warrior, rested warrior. Would you bow your heads with me, please? If you're a warrior of some sort, some season in your life, and you would feel moved to do it, just all of our eyes closed and our heads bowed, nobody's going to be looking around anything. Just as unto the Lord, something tangible and expressive. That's a biblical posture. If you would just open your hands as you sit there in your lap, just open your hands as if to say, Lord, the war that has been my life, the best I can, I give it to you. I come to you, Lord, weary. I come to you, Lord, knowing I don't have any strength, and that I don't have any strength. I don't have joy. Joy is like a three-letter word that is just a dream. And Lord, I'm asking you to have mercy on me. I bring the war. I bring the warring. I bring my stand as a warrior trying to be filled with the fire of God. I come to you bearing that as I come to you in my weariness this day. Give me your rest, Lord. Give me your deep rest. Deep rest. Deep rest. Deep rest. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I thank you for the capacity that you have for the accomplishing of that rest. And we thank you for the new understanding of who you are that is coming to us as you give us rest. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today here on Alamo City Church Sunday Sermons with Pastor David Walker. If you'd like to know more about Alamo City Church, please visit our website at www.alamocity.org.